Hello, this is Pastor Henry with the sixth and what appears to be the final midweek memo. Lord willing, we want to plan to meet this Sunday, June 7th for worship and the following Wednesday, June 10th for Through the Bible. For this upcoming Sunday, we will only be meeting for the 11 a.m. worship service. There will be no Sunday school or observance of the Lord's table. If you are planning on coming this Sunday, please bring your own mask. If you don't have one, the church may be able to provide you with one. There will be hand sanitizers at the church entry points. All doors will be locked except for the doors opening into the chapel foyer. We will also have touchless thermometers available. We will observe social distancing in the chapel and ask that all attendees stay spread out throughout the sanctuary. Now, right after the morning service, there'll be a brief meeting for anyone interested in working in VBS this summer. We're looking forward to meeting together again and hope you will join us. We do certainly understand those who choose not to attend at this time. It goes without saying, of course, that anyone who is ill or has been near anyone who's been ill will refrain from joining us. If you have a Bible, we'll be looking at the second Psalm today. The title of the memo is Rebels Beware. You know, rebellion is nothing new in this world. In fact, we know that a rebellion took place in heaven at some point, led by Satan. According to Revelation 12, verses 7 to 9, we read, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." You know, Satan's motivation to rebel seems to be summed up in Isaiah 14:14, where he is reported to have said, quote, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." He did not want to be a servant of the Most High God. He wanted to make himself equal to the Most High God. Now, we know what happened when the devil slithered into the Garden of Eden. He convinced Adam and Eve to rebel against God and even used the subtle lie that if they eat the fruit, they too will be like God. Talk about projecting. Because Satan wanted to be like God, he assumed everyone else also must want to be like God. Because Adam and Eve fell, the entire human race was plunged into sin. It is no surprise, then, that rebellion would become commonplace in this fallen world. In fact, at the heart of sin is rebellion. We want to supplant God as the Lord and install ourselves as masters of our own destiny. We do not want to submit to a higher authority who can tell us what to do. David wrote a psalm that deals with rebellion on a large scale. In Psalm 2, David is going to discuss a conspiratorial rebellion in the first three verses, a calamitous response in verses 4 through 9, and a critical relationship in verses 10 through 12. Let's read the first three verses of Psalm 2. "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.'" In these three verses, David is describing a conspiratorial rebellion. He first is going to examine the world's resentment. When David asks, "Why do the nations rage?" he's asking with a sense of incredulity. He can't understand why anyone would rage when God is in control. You know, we certainly have seen a lot of rage in this country over the last few days, with the riots in the various cities, the destruction of property. It's understandable that people are rebelling. People always have rebelled, and the leader of the rebellion, Satan himself, is still plotting, still trying to get us human beings to rebel against the God he rebelled against. Well, people are scheming. They're scheming ways to get rid of the Lord's plan and his anointed. What they are plotting is a vain thing, according to the psalmist. it will be a failure to try and overthrow the Almighty God. The nations are raging, the people are plotting, and the rulers are resenting, which leads to their resolve. They say, quote, let us. The rulers take counsel together. The kings of the earth set themselves. So this is a conspiracy among leadership. They are resolving to break their bonds and cast away their cords. Well, the picture here is people being held in bondage. They are claiming that the Lord is holding people down and keeping them from being free. The conspiracy is to rid the world of God and his anointed. You know, not much has changed since David wrote this psalm. The world is still trying to rid itself of God and his anointed and his people. There certainly is a conspiracy and a resolve to expunge God from our culture. A concerted effort has been in place to overthrow God since Satan attempted to do it. We can ask, like David did, why do the nations rage? God is in control. In the next section, verses 4-9, David is going to record what is a calamitous response. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold him in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. You know, David says, first of all, in this section, that the Lord will laugh. That response is usually not good. Psalm 37, verses 12 and 13 says, the wicked plot against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Psalm 59:8 says, but you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. And then Proverbs chapter 1, verses 25 and 26. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. Not only will God laugh, but he will hold the conspirators in derision. Now, derision means the use of ridicule or scorn to show contempt, a state of being laughed at or ridiculed, a state of being derided, an object of ridicule or scorn. I would not want to have the God of the universe to hold me in derision. Besides laughing and holding the conspirators in derision, God will rule from his throne. You know, this psalm looks forward beyond David's son to the Messiah. He, the Messiah, will rule the nations with a rod of iron. He will put down any and every rebellion swiftly. You know, today we hear the cry for justice. People want justice. But unfortunately, what is often perceived as justice is really nothing more than veiled revenge. When God administers justice, it is without prejudice and with all the facts at his disposal. When his wrath is released, it is truly just. So David pointed out a conspiratorial rebellion against God. The nations rage, the people plot, and the rulers resolve together to get rid of God and his anointed. Then David pointed out the calamitous response to the rebellion. God's wrath will be revealed. The Lord Jesus Christ will rule with a rod of iron. Rebellion will be squashed, and God will laugh and hold the conspirators in derision. Finally, David is presenting the rebels with a way out. He will show his readers the critical relationship they have with God's Son. Psalm 2, verses 10 through 12 says, now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Two things are essential for this critical relationship, wisdom and instruction. God will grant wisdom and understanding to those who seek him. He's provided his word so that all peoples can know him, can know what he expects, and can know what the future holds. David is advising the leaders to be wise and to get the instruction they need in the light of the rule and wrath and judgment God and his anointed will inflict. There's also some action required in this critical relationship. David tells the listeners to serve the Lord with fear. Since God is all-powerful and will rule with a rod of iron, then the response should be to serve him. After all, he is Lord. Jesus posed this question while on the earth. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say in Luke 6:46? If he is Lord, then he has to be obeyed. David mentions another action that is required in this critical relationship. He says, to kiss the Son. The Son is the one who is to be paid homage and respect. Instead of trying to overthrow him, pay him all the honor that is due him. Because if you don't, the psalmist says, he will be angry, and the rebel will perish when the Son's anger is kindled just a bit. The psalm concludes with a positive essential element of this critical relationship, trust. Those who trust in the Son are blessed. They enjoy fellowship with God in this life and eternal fellowship with God in the life to come. God loved the world so much that he sent his only Son to die and pay the penalty for the sins of mankind. Jesus conquered death and is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. One day he will return to set up his kingdom on this earth. Then justice will be served. It will be a time for all rebels to beware. I hope to see you in the near future at Grove Park Chapel. Until then, may God bless and keep you.